time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. And you know it's going to be a good show when it's Thursday and I'm next to my main man, Ant. But I had to cut him off before we went live because he started talking too much draft stuff. And I was like, nope, time to save it for the show. Ant, how are you doing, my friend?
I am doing great. I love draft season. There's so much cool stuff. And I keep finding players that, you know, I just fall in love with. I'm like, this dude needs to be a 49er. And I know that's not going to happen with some of these guys. I've gotten lucky in the past and had a couple that, hey, I fell in love with this guy, that guy. They become 49ers, and that's always great. But, yeah, I've really been enjoying the draft right now. And I think what's interesting about it is I think that there's a stretch of players that go from, like, the second to, like, maybe the early fourth round where you're like, wow, these dudes could easily be second rounders. These guys could be fourth rounders, depending on what a team's needs are and what they like and the fit. And so I keep finding those guys. And I also keep finding guys that I'm like, you know what? I think I might like this guy better than everybody else. And I like that. I think that's what's fun about seeing the draft. And then, hey, 3-4 years from now, we'll see if our hunches were right or if we were Jalen Hurd and we were completely wrong.
So, like, okay, here's my question. Because I go through this. There are players that I got right that hurt way more than the players I got wrong. Like Harold Fannin, it took 1 year. It took three games to, like, he was my favorite player in the draft last year. I knew how great he was. It was a major need. The Niners didn't get him. He went actually earlier than I thought he would go, but whatever. And it's like, gosh, only if, or Jacob Parrish. Ah, like just man, Creed Humphrey, just like, ugh. So, like, I feel like the hits, whenever they're on other teams, hurt almost as much as the misses do on your own team, no?
Oh, I think so. I think the hits for other teams, especially if your team passes on them, right? If your team had the opportunity and then moves on, and they go do something for someone else, and you're like, man, I said that. I knew it. You know what the biggest one for me is? Devontae Adams. I was so high on Devontae Adams. I was like, this is the first-round guy. The Niners need to take him. And they did not, and it drives me crazy to this day. I'm like, how do you miss a guy from your own backyard who played at Fresno State? Like, you just can't. And it that stuff frustrates me beyond. And you're right, Harold Fannin Jr. for you last year. Harold Fannin's great, and we all knew he was going to be one heck of a player. But I think he even surpassed what I believed, and I think he's going to be even better than I thought. Tremendously talented.
I didn't think that they would move on from Njoku so stinking fast. Like that was the thing that was just like, whoa, really? They're just, all right, cool. They're just already led the team in receptions, yards, you name it, all those different things. And I just pulled up the 2014 draft class, the Devontae Adams. I was curious the context. Devontae Adams went pick 53. Do you know who the 49ers picked immediately after that? Carlos Hyde. Oh, yeah. They took Jimmy Ward in the first. I don't think that was a miss, but yeah, you should have taken Devontae Adams over Jimmy Ward. You know, hindsight that. So, like, you were clamoring for them to take him in the first round.
Yes, I thought he was a first round pick through and through. I was telling everyone, all my friends, everybody, like Devontae Adams. They didn't get him, and I'm just like, this dude's about to go off on everybody, and I'm just going to be sitting here like, we got Jimmy Ward, and you know what's so crazy? They didn't have a real plan for Jimmy Ward. They drafted him. They had no real plan for him. He didn't until later on that, you know, they figured things out. Trent Baalke just could not get it right when it came to wide receiver. He was real bad. Devontae Adams, man, that would have been nice.
Ugh, All right. All right. So I have way too many questions. And the title of today's show is What We Know About the 49ers Draft. So we're going to go through, and I'm just going to quiz Ant on a whole bunch of different players and kind of positions. It's going to be fun. Got a trade prospect in there. I want to see what Ant thinks about that and everybody else as well. Like, throw in the comments, whatever you got. This is your show. And so as we talk through this stuff, you guys let us know what we want to do. Now, one of my early questions is this. You know, there's so many positions for the 49ers, but they only have 6 picks this year. Last year had 11 picks going into the draft. This year, 6. My question for you, Ann, as we start off, which positions do you think get neglected in the draft? We talk all the time about what positions should go in the first and second round and all that stuff, and we'll hit on some of that. But if you had to take a guess now on 2 to 3 positions that you think the 49ers will not draft at all in the 2026 draft class, what positions stand out to you as Niners are going to stay away from this position?
I think that there's a possibility that the defensive backfield gets ignored. I think that corner and safety could possibly get ignored because of where they're going to be picking. I think if they were picking 92 and that trade didn't happen, I think that would have been a hot spot for them to go get a cornerback or a safety that kind of fit. But I think that they're looking for other prime positions in round 1 and round 2, which means they might not look at safety at all. Because if you get to round 4, are you finding a safety that's going to compete right now for your football team? I don't know if you are. I don't know if that guy is going to be better than Marquis Siegel, minus somebody falling. You know, a guy that I really love in this draft is Jalen Kilgore from South Carolina. I think he's going to go in round 3. If you were Niners would have picked 92, I'd have been like, Jalen Kilgore, round 3. Talk about versatility, a guy that can play nickel. He can play half the field. He can play, you know, the high safety, plays good in the box, is a great tackler, love the player. But I think that trade kind of might have took him off the board for the 49ers is where they're going to be drafting. So this is kind of one of those tough ones where I think corner safety might get neglected. And I think that's part of the reason they got a guy like Nate Hobbs. And they're probably going to move forward with the safeties they got. But it's unfortunate. I do wish they could get a safety high, but I think trading that 3rd-round pick may have caused that not to happen now.
Yeah, I think that makes it – because they just don't value that position nearly as much. And you have 4 safeties on the roster, and 3 that are in, like, have played football, Malik Mustafa, Jair Brown, Marquis Siegel. But then you got Ciaran Neal, who's done it. You got Derek Canteen, who they were really, really high on anyway. Like, how many safeties are you going to keep on your 53? You're going to keep 4 safeties? Niners haven't really done that in a while. I'm not so sure. Like, yes, safety needs to be upgraded. How much of that, and you've already heard echoes from the front office talk about, well, we think with the pass rush being upgraded and the linebackers being upgraded, it's going to be an easier job for these safeties on the back end. And you've got people like Dante Whitner out saying, you know, go sign a veteran guy. I would like them to do that. But I don't see the 49ers adding a veteran safety until right before training camp, like they have done so many times. They don't rush at that position. They don't value that position like a lot of other teams do. You said corner. You're returning all top 5 corners from your team last year, or top 4 corners, and you added Evan Neal. And not Evan Neal. Sorry, I just got through watching it. Help me out. Nate Hobbs. Thank you. There we go. Nate Hobbs. So you've got 5 corners. Like, you only keep 9 DBs on your initial 53-man roster, and Ciaran Neal, does he count as a safety? Whatever you want to do, he's making the initial. Like, you already have your 9. So, you know, my positions were cornerback, I could see them neglecting. Defensive tackle, I could see them neglecting. This is a bad defensive tackle class. And quarterback, which a lot of times I'm like, dude, I believe in taking a quarterback every single draft class just because you never know. But with 6 picks, you've already, you know, you redshirted Curtis Rourke. You're not trading Mac Jones. Now, you trade Mac Jones, you got to get one. But I don't know. So quarterback, real quick, your thoughts. Are you even looking much into this quarterback class at all?
No, I haven't really. I've been looking a little bit at the undrafted free agent guys who might be quarterbacks available. I think that's the way the 49ers probably go. They probably bring somebody in, a camp arm and that sort of thing. But no, I don't think so. I don't think the 49ers are going quarterback, especially with the limited resources they have. 6 picks. Other years, they would have 10, 11 picks. They could take a quarterback and see what happens. They really don't have any capital to waste this year. They have to hit on 6 picks or, you know, trade back, get a couple extra picks, maybe a couple extra throws at the dartboard. But I think that they have to hit these out of the park. And I think that they know that because they don't really have extra picks coming next year either, right? Like the way that they signed in free agency, the comp formula is not going to work out for them. So I think that this is kind of the way for the next couple of years, and next year's draft is going to be good. They got to make sure they hit this year and next year to kind of replenish the depth and then some of the starters along the way.
Look at this from Jan. If we only had a general manager who knew about safeties, if only. That is what we are missing. And right here, San Mateo, Justin Simmons is a perfect late addition. I would love that. I would be super excited about that. What's up, Lou? He says, I bet they ignore the offensive line. It would be a typical Niner move. They just do not value that. Shout out to my man Tommy in the super chat. He says, how about those Aggies? They're terrible. I hate watching Aggie tape, and you know, you keep adding them, Texas A&M, and then you brought in Kirk and a lot of the draft prospects. You know, there's some strong Aggie players that are available there. Just keep adding them. If they're good football players, I don't mind. You know, I'm a Longhorn. It is what it is, but we'll see there. Now, the flip side question to this, we talked about the positions you could see them not drafting. Is there a position you could see them double dipping? The 49ers front office has done this so many times, almost every single draft since they've been here, where at least one position they get at least two players. It's going to be harder to do with six picks, but if you had to pick one position that the 49ers drafted not one but two players in the upcoming draft, which positions stand out to you?
I think wide receiver. I think even though you've added Christian Kirk and Mike Evans, I think you look at the wide receiver room and you say, hey, there's an open door here. And I know everybody is talking, you know, about, you know, Jacob Cowing and Watkins and those guys, but they haven't done anything, you know, and I think there's a lot of hype surrounding Watkins for sure. But I mean, I haven't seen anything in training camp or the limited snaps that he had that said, yeah, this guy's for sure stamped approval going to be on this team. And I think when you look at them losing Juwan Jennings, I think they could be looking for somebody physical that could step in and get some of those tough plays that could help on special teams, be a good blocker. I think that the 49ers really love that. So getting a wide receiver in the first two rounds and then coming back in round four and finding a guy who's physical, who does things right, that could develop, I think is something they could do. Because if they get a certain type of player early, like I'll throw it an example. If they draft like a guy like Casey Concepcion in round one, he's going to handle kickoff, punt returns, all that stuff. You want him on the field. Goodbye, Jacob Cowing, which means you have another open spot. And then if you find a guy that can play kind of that tough Juwan Jennings role, get some of those physical blocking, you go ahead and get them. We both like Dejon Stribling from Ole Miss. I think he would be a perfect fit for that. You know, and then that might be Jordan Watkins is out. But the 49ers have room for that. Plus, they always have injuries. Somebody's probably going to get hurt, and you're going to need somebody anyways. I think wide receiver makes the most sense to double up.
Well, you didn't mention Ricky Pearsall until that last part. So, like, you've got to, those hamstrings, you know what it is. Man, I hope he stays healthy. So freaking fun to watch. It would just change everything. And that's kind of the issue with the wide receiver spot is because Mike Evans is not a long-term answer. Christian Kirk is not a long-term answer. DeMarcus Robinson is not a long-term answer. And the 49ers offseason moves have kind of been really, really stout with this idea of, man, we're competing right now. We're filling needs now. Long-term options, and that kind of adjusts a little bit of the 49ers draft philosophy. Is it a red shirt, learn and build for the future? Or is it, we got to get guys that can contribute right freaking now and stay in line with this free agent class that we brought in where we signed five starters? Are you looking more immediate need, or are you looking, especially in that first round pick, we're looking for future kind of cornerstone players, or are you looking for immediate response and kind of getting things done now, Ant?
I think they're looking for a guy that can get things done now and in the future. I really do. I think they're looking for a guy that can make an impact in year one. I believe that they look around the league and they see an opportunity to get where they want to go, you know, and are they that close to a Super Bowl? I don't know, but I do think that they're working towards that. And I think the draft is going to go a long way in kind of illustrating that. I think if they were looking just for the future, we'd be talking a lot more offensive line in round one. They're in a perfect position to get potentially a really good offensive tackle at a guy like Max Ihonatiore or somebody like that towards the end of the draft or into the first round. I think that they're looking for a guy that can make an impact. That's why a guy like Casey Concepcion, makes a little bit of sense because he helps in kick and punt return. He does some of the gadget things, can still win. But I don't think he's the only wide receiver they're looking at. He's just an example right there of a guy that fits that can help right now. And I do think that they're looking for that. Also why designated pass rusher makes a lot of sense, right? A guy that can help on third down, make an impact as a rookie. I think they are looking for that in round one. I think as you go in the draft, you can look for guys who can fill out your roster, be depth pieces that you can develop. But I think rounds one and two, I think it is really important now to hit on guys that can help right now.
Hey, Niner faithful, if you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush.
The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick during any of the 2026 NBA playoffs. Live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA.
I like it. I like it. And that takes some guys off the list. You know what I mean? Because that, like, there are developmental players that are going to be there that you're just kind of like, man, it just doesn't line up. It just doesn't line up. You know, I put something out yesterday where I was like, here's two dark horse kind of players that I could see going to the 49ers in round one. Wide receiver Chris Broussel II. We've talked about him. I understand both of us are higher on him than almost everybody else. And then edge rusher R. Mason Thomas. Got a lot of pushback, as always, because it's not one of the top names that people are fans of. Is there anybody else, Ant, that you would want to add to this? You know what? Not seeing a lot of mocks or a lot of chatter as going to the 49ers at number 27, but it kind of makes sense with the way you view it that could go there. So long kind of shot in the dark players that you think could go to the 49ers in the first round.
Yeah, you know, I think you look at the second round, and this is where it gets kind of interesting, is there are some guys that are kind of like they're in the 30s. I think that there's an outside chance that there's a couple of guys there, maybe a safety. I don't think the 49ers value safety, so it'd probably be a trade back situation if they were looking to change the position. But I think that there's a couple of wide receivers. You probably don't hear them go to the Niners a whole lot in round one, but could happen. A guy like Chris Bell, I think, you know, if they feel comfortable with the knee injury, I think that he's a fit for the 49ers with what he does in the open field and the plays he can make. I think that you're looking at you know, normally I would say defensive tackle. I don't think there's a defensive tackle in this range that you go with. That's why I think it is getting a little bit simpler to kind of look at who it's going to be. And when you brought up guys, wide receiver, defensive end, that's who it is. I think if Cassius Howe goes off the board early, I think you're right. R. Mason Thomas could be an option for the 49ers, you know, right there. Other than that, I'm not really seeing a whole lot of guys. I don't think they're going to take an offensive guard in round one, so I don't move anybody up like that. So to me, I don't see a lot of guys. I know who one guy I would love, but they're stacked at the position. And I don't think they'll do it, is D'Angelo Pons. I'm just a huge fan of D'Angelo Pons. I think he's going to be a dynamite corner. I would think that a first-round grade would be fine for him. but I don't see the 49ers taking a corner, so I can't say D'Angelo Pons at 27.
Can you see him playing outside corner, or is he a nickel only at 5'8"? No. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think he can. I think he can play outside.
He did for Indiana.
I think that the way he plays, he's so sticky that he's right there on you. And I get it. Some of the bigger wide receivers could give him some problems. But if you're talking about a guy that can play as tight coverage as he can, he just makes windows so tough. And he's a guy that drives extremely well in the ball. Really good timing. I think he plays a little bit bigger than his frame. I like him a lot. And the truth is, right, if he was 5'10", he would be a first-round pick. Like, that's how talented he is. So I really like him. And I do think he can play outside in the NFL. I think somebody might draft him as their Cooper DeJean type player and play him at the nickel, and he'll be really dynamite. But if they wanted to play him outside, I think they could.
Yeah, I like that. Joe asks here, what about Akeem Mesidor, the edge player? I don't think he's going to be there at 27. I think he's gone, you know, top 25. He could fall because he is 25 years old, but he's just such a complete player. Like, he's ready to contribute now. And once you get into the late teens, 20s, teams are competing. Those are playoff caliber rosters already. That's a perfect fit. I don't think Akeem Mesidor goes in the top kind of 12 with rebuilding teams. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. But on the back half of the first, I would be stoked if the 49ers got Akeem Mesidor. But I don't think he's going to be available at 27. He's too clean to tape, personally, for me.
Yeah, I mean, Akeem Mesidor, it was interesting. At the first part of the process, I was really concerned about his 25 years old. You know, I'm looking at him, I'm like, you're taking a first-round pick. He's 25. And then I kind of changed my thought process on it because I thought, I remember back to John Lynch talking about one contract and two contract guys. And with edge rusher, there's so much value to get a guy on a contract like this, right? They're so expensive. Having Akeem Mesidor for 5 years, well, you wouldn't have to sign him when he's 30, right? You wouldn't have to re-up him. You could just keep him for his 5 years, play him on the fifth-year option if you wanted to. And I think that's how you would have to look at him. This is going to be a guy we look at as a one-contract guy, but he could help us for 5 years, and then you move in a different direction. I think that that's okay. I think there's still tremendous value to have a player like that for 5 years. So I do think if he was at 27, and I'm with you, I don't think he's there at 27, but if he was, that would be a very solid pick for the 49ers. This is a guy with three down, positional versatility. I mean, this guy can move around, play inside, play outside. Yeah, he would be a solid pick for the Niners.
Lou, you're my boy, Lou. Thoughts on Hurst, Ted Hurst going in the first round instead of the usual suspects. Ooh, that is a rich. I like Ted Hurst. I have not placed him on my chart yet. I'm leaning early third round. I know a lot of people love him in the second round. What do you do with Ted Hurst? Small school player, Georgia State. What are your thoughts? Where does he land? Tape's clean. Tape is clean.
Oh, yeah. I think that he's probably a guy that's going to go earlier than, you know, probably people expect right now. I think you look at, you know, what happened last year with Tesla, when he went so early and everyone was like, what in the world? But I think that he's a better prospect than Isaac Tesla. Tesla's a crazy red zone threat and can make things happen. Hurst is a guy that's got versatility. He can play X, but he can also play in the slot. He did a lot of things moving. And I think that that's one thing I loved. He was in motion, moving around and catching the ball. He's big. He's physical, fast. All the things you want in a wide receiver. I think the question marks just come down to who he played against. But I do think that he's a really good player, and I think he could come in and be a dynamite two for somebody if they get him into the right system and they use him correctly. I don't think you just line him up at X and say, hey, here's our X receiver. I think you got to kind of move him around. I think they could find some really good looks for him in certain offenses. So late two, early three, I think that that's a real possibility for Hurst. But I could see someone falling in love with them too and going with them somewhere in the middle of the second round.
Yeah, and I'll say this, because like if I have a third round or a second round grade, that doesn't mean that's where they're going to go. Like, for example, I have 16 first round picks. Like, I have 16 first round grades. Well, guess what? There's 32 picks in the first round. That means 16 players that I have second round grades on are going to go in the first round. That doesn't mean they're going ahead of, you know, where I have them or wherever else, because, you know, I'm looking at, let me just give an example on my big board here. Like, okay, Cassius Howell, okay, who is mocked to the 49ers all the time. I have a second round grade on him. He's my 21st overall player. So it's possible for Cassius Howell to go in the first round and be picked after where I have him on my big board. So, like, just because, like, we say things like Ted Hurst is a third round pick evaluation so far in my eyes, he's going to go at the late end of the second round. And so, like, that doesn't mean I'm off on him or whatever else, or I'm lower on him. The NFL does the same thing. And each team will have, a lot of teams will only have like 10 first round grades some years because they throw players off their board. I don't throw players off my board. Like, Jordan Tyson probably would not be on my board. Like, yeah, he's a stud, phenomenal wide receiver, but just can't stay healthy. There's lots of guys where I'm just like, I'm not drafting them. I saw somebody ask a question about Zion Young. Like, no, like, he's not on my board. You can't have, you know, the assault and the DUI right before the draft. Like, I'm just like, decision-making process, not there. Now, teams have to go in and figure out how they feel about that. And I understand everybody makes mistakes and whatever else, but we hear the 49ers say all the damn time, we want guys that love football. You're getting a DUI after a game, you know, if 1 o'clock in the morning in December, right before your boat, like, I'm just like, I don't know. That just raises questions to me. Zion Young's a damn good football player. He's incredible. Might be an A-plus human being. But those question marks are just enough to say, you know what? I don't think so. And so what's your approach with whether it's injuries, which there are a lot of those, or off-the-field stuff, whenever you're building your board? How do you keep track of medical issues off the field? Do you bump them down, or do you just flag them and say, whatever?
Yeah, I sometimes bump them down depending on what it is. If it's an off the field issue, like, I mean, last year with Mike Green, right? It was like, this dude is a first round talent, but he's going to get moved down on pretty much everyone's boards because of the off field concerns. And same thing with James Pierce Jr. I mean, James Pierce Jr. had so many red flags when it came to off the field stuff. That I went from, hey, this guy's probably going to be a top 15 pick to this guy may go in the first round. And I think that I kind of judge that accordingly. I don't think there's a right or a wrong way. You flag them, you don't. I think for a lot of teams, I think if we were in the 49ers room, they would be ripping these dudes off their board and they wouldn't even be on there. I think a lot of teams do that. We have to kind of take a different approach because we're kind of talking about all these guys and we don't have those inner workings. But there are times when I look at guys and I'm like, there is absolutely no way the 49ers are taking that guy because of the off the field or because of the injuries. And I will, kind of just move them aside and be like, this dude is not gonna go. I want to rip him all the way off, but I don't, because I think that would be a lot. But yeah, I think it's common in the NFL for teams to just rip guys off the boards and be like, these are just not 49ers, or these are not, whatever team it is.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that they should or shouldn't. I don't know the full situation, but whenever you get those question marks, and like the edge room, right? Like, okay, where I have Zion Young, I have a second round grade on him. I have 7 second round edges. 7. Like, that's a lot. That is a crowded position group, which is great for the 49ers. But it's like, would you take him over a DDS? Would you take him over a TJ Parker? Would you take him over Malachi Lawrence or Akeem Mesut? Like, these guys that I have in the second round grade, it's enough just to be like, you know what? I don't think so. It's just enough for that. Now, he's going to get drafted. And a lot of teams don't care about that stuff. Dallas Cowboys do not care. It's just not even in their evaluation. There are several teams that are like that. 49ers are no longer that team. Not after Reuben Foster, and sure as hell not after this Brandon Ayuk, whatever. Big Tone, look at this super chat. What position does level of opposition not matter? This comes talking about Ted Hurst, played against lower tier competition. The first position that comes to me is edge rusher. You have so many elite edge rushers from smaller schools, Khalil Mack, Max Crosby. When you could see that bend and, explosiveness at that size body, I feel like that is one position that's just, does it really matter? Is there another position for you where it's like, the opposition level, FCS, whatever, doesn't really matter?
I think it really comes down to domination, right? I mean, if you're at the FCS level and you dominate, now, it's changed completely now because of all the transfer portal stuff and all that. These guys move from FCS really quickly, right? You don't have those guys that just stay there all the time. But when you talk about guys like Randy Moss, who dominated lower level competition, I think that that's one thing you look at. If as long as they dominate, if they're just playing good against those guys, I think you have to take that into consideration. But I think you're right. You know, defensive line, I think, is one you could definitely find guys who play against that level of competition, and you see it. They just dominate. And I think edge rushers especially, the body kind of comes in there. It's like that guy from Central Michigan that I'm kind of becoming a fan of, Michael Heldman, right? I mean, he's just a guy that plays against that competition, but he's extremely talented. And then he went out there and dominated his pro day. Those kind of guys are fun, you know, and he's going to be a late round pick, and he's a guy that's got some bend, and he's got some moves to him. So there are guys like that that can do it.
I like it. Look at this. We got Rob Louder. He says, coach approach hat tip. I'm at home on spring break. Wasn't wearing a hat, but I put one on to send this. Shout out to Rob Louder. Hey, shoot, Rob was texting me last night about Akeem Mesdore. Like, dude's a baller. You watch the tape, and it's just, you don't need any interpretation. You don't need any, like, oh, how will this translate? Nope, it's ready. It's packaged. It's just open up, and it's ready to go. But shout out to Striking Gold Podcast. Everybody go check that out. Look at this. Craig, appreciate the super chat. Talk to me about Anthony Hill Jr., John. I love him. And I feel like he's got very overshadowed by Arvell Reese, rightfully so. Sonny Styles, I get it. Like, freak athletes. Anthony Hill Jr. might have as high a ceiling as definitely as Sonny Styles. It's just not consistent yet. Whenever he trusts his technique and slow plays the backside as that off-ball linebacker, he's as good as they get. You talk about the pass rushing, the sacks, the interceptions, the ball skills, the coverage. His ceiling is unbelievable. Can you get it out of him? Tape is inconsistent. So I have a second-round grade on Anthony Hill Jr., but I'm telling you right now, like, this dude is a freaking baller. He is incredible, incredible. What are your thoughts on Longhorn Anthony Hill Jr.?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting the way that the college football game is developing these hybrid players that play off ball, play on the line of scrimmage, bring pressure, you know, and it really was kind of emphasized last year with Jalen Walker, but we're seeing it a lot more. And I think that you're getting a guy here that can do that kind of stuff. I think that, you know, Raheem Morris would like a guy, you know, like this. I think that he does fit kind of what he looks for. I think when he hits, he hits, and he's extremely explosive and fun. I thought that same thing about Jalen Walker, that when they're on, they're on. And then there's times that there's lulls in their game, and they get bodied, and they have some problems with some of the bigger, more physical guys that latch onto them. But he's a lot of fun. I think he's going to be a good pro. I think, you know, second round seems pretty safe bet for him. And I think a team's going to get an explosive player that can make some things happen. And I think he's going to put pressure on the quarterback, and he's going to play around, and they're going to drop him to cover sometimes, and he's going to do a lot of fun things. So, yeah, I think he's a real good fit for a 3-4 defense. But I think that there's going to be some teams that look at him and some hybrid roles as well.
Yeah, and I think one of those early teams that were looking at Sonny Styles don't get him will get Anthony Hill in the early second. Like, I see Anthony Hill going in the 40s, 50s. I don't think the Niners will have a chance on him, sadly, in the back end of the second round. But I'm not even sure I would want them to take him anyway, even though I like him. That position's just so clog jammed with players now. I do have a question in the chat that I'll get to right after this. We're talking about trading D winners to open up space for Anthony Hill Jr., and we'll talk about that right after this. 49ers rush road trip is going down under. The 49ers and Rams play in Australia to open up the 2026 season, and we got you covered. We are now taking deposits in a partnership with X Hospitality and True Fan Travel. All you have to do is go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, and you can sign up right there and get your deposit in. It's $499 deposit, but here's the kicker. Fully refundable all the way until the end of May, which that's going to give you several weeks after the official announcement of the schedule. But we're trying to build this out and make sure that we have spots for everybody that is serious about going. So, however, if we fill up our spots and you didn't get your deposit in, then I hate to say it, probably not going to be able to travel with us. We're covering direct flights from San Francisco all the way to Melbourne. We've got 4-star hotels. We're all going to be staying together. I can't announce that until the NFL announces. They've got a lot of red tape on that. Game tickets, which is going to be very difficult to get game tickets for this international game. It's the first game ever in Australia. We got you. We got transportation to and from the game. We have all-inclusive tailgate before the game. We have a rally the day before the game with a former player. We'll announce that later. We're going to the wildlife refuge. We've got wine tasting and dinners covered. We've got you. So go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go ahead and check it out. Make sure you like it. And again, if you're one of those people that's like, I'm not coming from San Francisco, we have non-flight options. So if you just want to meet us there, that is there as well. If you want to stay longer than the 7 days that we're going, you do the non-flight option, fly out on your own. You join us for the week of the game. We have everything covered. Everybody is welcome to come, all ages included. So go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, get your deposit in now, and make sure you save your spot for this legendary event, 49ers Rush Road Trip. And if you have any questions, just go to the site, fill out the contact list with, hey, can I do this? It's on the site. They will get your questions answered. And if they don't, email me. 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com. I will get you your answers. Do not miss out on this once-in-a-lifetime event. All right. I do have to say, real quick, I want to pound my chest just a little bit. The NFL announced full travel packages as well. And so, like, I went to check those out. And we got a lot of pushback for the price of our trip. It's not a cheap trip to fly over there and include everything we're doing for a week. We are several thousand dollars cheaper than what the NFL is offering for their package, and we're giving twice as much stuff. Like, it is just a game day experience with them. So I am very, very happy because, like, I'm losing money flying across the country and hosting these events, but I do it because I freaking love it. I'm so excited to go to Australia. So anyway, go check it out, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com if you haven't yet. Very proud of what we put together, and we've been working months to get this set up, and so that's all there. Anyway. San Mateo asked this, would love to trade D winners for a fifth to Robert Saleh and then take Anthony Hill in the second. I'm going to say yes to trading D winners for a fifth. I would do that in a heartbeat no matter what you do. And I'm going to say probably not to Anthony Hill in the second. I don't think he'll be there. But I'm fine even without D winners. This linebacker room, I'm still okay with. Tatum Bethune and Nick Martin fighting out for that number three spot and one of them to replace Dre Greenlaw if he leaves after this year. What are your thoughts on this?
The linebacker room's loaded, right? I mean, they're seven deep, really, when you look at it, but between special teams and then the players that they have that can compete to start. Plus, you play sub packages most of the time anyway. So how many of these linebackers are actually going to play? Right now, they have extreme depth. I think the most likely outcome is that one of these linebackers get traded, but I think it's probably going to be for 2027 compensation as it happens coming out of training camp, because the 49ers know that they can get bit by the injury bug, and they look at this room and they say, hey, we don't really want Garrett Wallow starting day one. We like him, but we'd rather not have that happen. So when you can stack injuries at positions, having depth is important, and I think that that's what they kind of lock onto. Plus, I'm wondering what the 49ers do with Nick Martin if they use him in some strategic moves off the edge. You know, you're looking at a guy who's big, physical, and fast, who blitzes pretty well. Could they use him in a Jalen Walker-type role with Raheem Moore sometimes? I think there's something interesting there when you look at X's and O's. So I'm curious how they do the linebacker room, but my expectation would be a trade at the end of training camp before cuts.
Yeah, I like that. Oh, we got a super chat. What's up, Lori? Appreciate you very much. John and Ant, if you exclude defensive line and wide receiver, what position would the Niners pick with the first round pick? Best player available? What are your thoughts here? And I'll let you go first. If you just had to focus on position in the first round, if you can't go D-line or wide receiver, what would you say is the logical choice there?
Well, I think the next best positional value would be offensive line, especially offensive tackle, because that's where you're going to save money in the long run. So I think that that's where they would go. I think that there are some guys at the end, right? Caleb Lomu could be there. I think he's extremely talented. He could easily, you know, be a guy that you draft and he takes over for Trent Williams eventually. Max Ihonatiore is probably my favorite of those guys there. I think the nimble feet, the athleticism, he's just going to get better and better. Sky's the limit for that guy. So those would be the guys that I would kind of see. Offensive tackle would make the most sense. They're probably not the funnest of, you know, the guys who are available, but they D-line and a wide receiver, and then offensive line.
There we go. All right, let's talk some trade stuff. I put together a trade. I spend time analyzing the trade board. What about this trade? This is a weird one, okay? The 49ers trade back with the Las Vegas Raiders. It's already probably not going to happen. But Vegas gets number 27, our first rounder, a fourth rounder, and next year's third. So you're giving up your first and your fourth and next year's third, and you're getting pick number 36 and pick number 67. So you're jumping up a total of 70 spots from your fourth rounder to get a high third rounder. So you fall back just, what is it, about 8 spots from first round to the top of the second, and you jump from bottom fourth all the way up to the top of the third. Does this draft class provide enough for you to be able to give up one of those future picks in the third round so that you can get more premium help now?
Oh, for me, it does, because, you know, I brought up earlier the value of having one of those picks that you could potentially get a safety. And I think that there are some guys who are very talented kind of in that middle range of the third round that the 49ers could grab that could improve the room. But also there's offensive linemen as well, right? You talk about a guy, is he going to go in the second round? Is he going to go in the third? A guy like Caleb Tiernan from Northwestern, I think he would make a lot of sense. I think you could get a starting caliber offensive lineman in that range. So for me, dropping back 8 spots and picking up a couple extra picks that have tremendous value, I think is very important. And yeah, I would be willing to give up a future third round pick because I do think that right now you could find the value. I think there's enough good players in this draft. Yeah, you've got great players next year, but let next year take care of next year. Right now, focus on this, and I think it's a good deal.
Yeah, there, and you know, the points match on the trade scale. And so, like, you'd get two kind of premium players if you want to see it that way. But right here, Seabass says, don't trade back. We need, like, 3 fringe starters. We don't need more Nick Martins and Jordan Watkins. Yeah, it's definitely approach. You know, quality over quantity. Do you want more dart throws? How do you see that? These are all the questions that teams practice on, and they go through these mock trades whenever, like, and do, why would we do this? Who falls? What does that look like for us? Some of those things there. I'm not against it. My biggest hang up with this is giving away that 2027 third rounder. That's where I'm just like, that makes me not like it. But getting 2 premium picks this year, I would like that very, very much. Lou, my man, Lou. He says, can you guys tell me what your plans are on draft day? And we spent the last couple years together. We haven't even talked about this. This is a little on-camera drama action. What's the plans as the new father? I'm curious. What are your draft plans, my friend?
I haven't really planned it out, honestly. I haven't. You know, I figured that I'm going to make myself available for draft content. But, yeah, I hadn't even thought about it. So Lou's thinking ahead of me. I probably should have already been thinking about this, but I haven't. You're right, John. We have been doing draft pretty much every single year for like a couple of years or so. Yeah, no, I don't know. But
the plan is to be live. We're going to be live. Right. And it's a weird draft because, like, in the past, I've done like all of day 2. I know, Ant, you've done all of day 3. It's not really built that way this year because you pick in the second round and then day 2 is over. Like, that's it. And so, like, I don't know if I want to keep streaming for the entire third round when the 49ers are 100 picks away. And then you get to the third day, and it's like, all right, all your picks are in the fourth round. Maybe they trade back. But we will be live. And hopefully Ant and I will be together in some variation during different times. But we will be live during the first, second, and round 4 at worst.
Yes.
So, yeah, join us. No draft events for me this year. I'm kind of pulling back just a little bit. Kiddos graduating, kiddos moving to Texas. We're downsizing. We're going to be empty nesters. And it's our 20th anniversary, so we're going to be on vacation for a little time. So, like, the wife made me promise, do less. And so I said, yes, ma'am. I don't want to get in trouble. My goal is to try to get to 21 years. That's kind of where I'm at. All right, now let's talk some running backs. Because, man, back to Lou. Kyle Shanahan's going to draft a running back. And you look at the room now, there is a need there. Like, I feel confident in Christian McCaffrey. I feel confident in Jordan James. That's it. You bring back, you know, Taylor, and you have Isaac Arendo. I'm not sure I'm okay with that. You have to add a running back at some point. Talk to me about running backs that you like. And here's my question that I had in my chat before Lou put this there. Would you be shocked if the 49ers took a running back in round two? If Jadarian Price falls, would you be surprised?
I can't say I would because of, you know, Kyle Shanahan and how he values running back. I think Jadarian Price is a very good player, and I think that he's worthy of a second round pick. I would not want the 49ers to take Jadarian Price with that pick. I think that there's enough value other places. I think Jordan James will be fine, and I think you could find somebody later on in this draft. And you know who I would really love, and I don't think he's going to be in there in the fourth round, but I absolutely love him, is Jonah Coleman from Washington. I mean, this is one of my guys. And John, a little story. Jonah Coleman, I've actually met on a couple of occasions. He's from my backyard. So I've literally known him since he's like 12 years old, right? I kind of like had interactions. I wouldn't say we're like friends or anything like that, but I know who he is. We've had interactions. And I've seen the work that he's put in through high school. I watched him play, bet on himself, play so hard, work out his body. Nobody puts out more effort. I've seen him go to the training facilities locally. This dude does everything right. And I think when you know somebody like that, you know they do everything right, you want them to win. So I don't want him to make it to the fourth round because I want him to get as much as he can. And I do think he should be somewhere in the third round, somewhere like that. But you're talking about a guy that has good vision, runs hard, breaks tackles. He can block. He's really good in pass protection. He loves pass protection. Anytime you see a running back pick someone up and throw him, you know you got somebody like that. This dude reminds me of a muscle hamster. Like, that's just who he is, from the same town as the former muscle hamster. So this dude is legit. I like him a lot. He's one of my favorite dudes, but I don't know if he'll be there. One guy that will, though, South Carolina, Rashul Faison is a guy that I like later on. Maybe 49ers get him in the fourth. Maybe he falls all the way out, the undrafted free agent. I kind of like Rashul Faison from South Carolina.
There we go. Probably one of my favorite. I don't like this running back class altogether. Like this, there's not a lot of guys I'm excited about. Probably one of the guys that I'm most excited about is Catron Allen. And he's like your big kind of bruiser back. But like my favorite thing whenever I'm grading running backs is vision. And Jonah Coleman's on that list. Like he's got the vision. And like Catron Allen, I feel the same way. I got to, you know, you start watching some of that tape, the scuba he puts. I want Singleton. Dude, I didn't like Singleton's tape at all. 2025 was rough. Was rough tape. And his teammate looked better than him, even though he's bigger and slower. I don't know. Damon Claiborne, Wake Forest, I kind of like. Emmett Johnson, I kind of like. Mike Washington Jr. is a freak athlete. I got it, you know, a third round grade on him, but I don't know, man. Is he just Isaac Garrido 2.0, this big height, weight, speed guy that just runs into the back of his blockers consistently? Like, I don't know, man. What, like, if they got Mike Washington, which you'd probably have to get him in the second, he ain't going to be there in the fourth. I don't know, man. I don't like it.
I'm not a huge fan of the running back class either. I think this is a running back class of traits, right? You find like one guy that's kind of good at one thing and he's not good at another. Like I seen someone in chat, Darwin said Eli Heidenreich. I like Eli Heidenreich. My question with him is he a slot receiver? Is he a running back? He played, you know, that slot role at Navy. So I'm watching him and I'm seeing how much vision does he have. I see what he can do out on the edge when he's running these fly sweeps and these little toss plays. But is he a running back? I think if he's a running back who has enough vision that also can go line up in the slot, I think there's a lot of value there in 49ers system. I think that that would make sense, right? Those are the kind of guys you take a chance on, because if they can run on the inside, then he fits the mold of what you're looking for a replacement. I'm not replacement, sub for Christian McCaffrey, because he can kind of do those roles. But if he can't, that's what I'm looking at with a lot of these guys as question marks. You bring up Washington and the vision, is it there? I just think that there's a lot of question marks. That's why I locked on to Jonah Coleman, because I'm like, this is a dude that's at least a complete running back, right? This guy, he does things the right way. He's a complete guy. You don't see very many of those guys in this draft. They have traits, but you're going to be betting on somebody if you go running back. I don't know if the 49ers ultimately draft running back. I wouldn't be shocked if they don't wait and just go undrafted free agent because of some of the question marks about the players, especially late in the draft.
Get like two undrafted free agent guys at the running back position and just let them duke it out. And if you got to sign or trade again, you know, you saw him do it last year with Brian Robinson, which, man, it was nice to have that insurance, but looking back on that trade, I wish you had that pick. I would rather have that pick now. You never used him. Anyway, another topic, and San Mateo appreciates you, man. He says, why aren't more people talking about DDS? This is Danny Dennis Sutton, edge rusher for Penn State. Clean, clean, clean profile, clean tape, clean player, clean human. Just like this dude, just he's one of the few players in this class that just checks off all of the questions you got. He's 6'6", 256. He's quick. His athleticism's great. He's got experience. He's got production. He's not horrible against the run. He's more of a pass rush guy. But what are your thoughts? I have a second round grade on him. Danny Dennis Sutton out of Penn State, just athleticism and size. I like this guy. Now, I have him ranked as an 8 out of 10 on acceleration. So is he that classic speed burst guy? The tape shows good acceleration, shows good get off, but I don't put him as a speed rusher. Like, he could play that, but he's not that Romello height. He's not the Cassius Howell. He's not that. I would argue he's not even the Joshua Joseph, who I have him ahead of most of those guys I just mentioned, but he's not that crazy. That's not how he wins. What are your thoughts on Danny Dennis Sutton?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at overall prospect, the way he's put together, I mean, this dude is put together as a really solid defensive end, right? The length, the height, the weight, the explosiveness. He tested extremely well. But you're right. When you watch it on film, it's not a guy that just wins with pure speed or, you know, wins as a dynamic guy off the edge. But he's more consistent. He's got good hand work. He works hard. He's got a good motor. I think he's just a very solid prospect. And I think this is one of those guys that you bet on where they got, you know, a very high floor. You know what I mean? This guy's going to be a solid NFL player for a while. But I do think he shows some traits that make him a consistent winner in the NFL. So, yeah, I like him. I think that he's a fun player. He's been getting brought up a lot more in my videos and stuff because I think that he's starting to kind of come on the scene as people are figuring out who he is. He's going to be a good NFL pro, I think. And if you told me the 49ers selected him at pick 58, I'd be like, hey, we got a solid edge player who can step in and make some plays for this football team. I wouldn't hate it. I think he's a good player. I think that's probably the range he goes, probably the end of the second round, early third round, as teams look to kind of bolster their edge room.
One of my favorite things about him, I think he was the only edge player, there were two, to run the three-cone drill at the combine. Only two. He ran a 6.9. That's faster than Deebo Samuel. Like, at 6'6", 250, like the bend, the change of direction, like the tape didn't show the elite athleticism that he put on display at the combine, which isn't a negative, but it's just like, you know, I grade every single player on a 49ers fit scale. And, you know, I take it, you know, injuries and off the field and experience and whatever else. He's a 10 out of 10. Like, I am all in on Danny Dennis Sutton. The question I have, are you capable with him? Are you okay with him just coming in and being that pass rush specialist only? That's the biggest question. And whenever you see guys like Romello Height, you know, or Cassius Howell, you know that they're going to do that. So I like Dennis Smith, or is it Danny Dennis Smith? I'm not sure. Somebody corrected my pronunciation.
Yeah, Danny, I think.
I don't know. But whatever it is, and yeah, he's not the most violent player ever. I would argue the same thing about Nick Bosa. That's one of my things with him as well. Like, there are guys that just go out there to kill people, and there are guys that drag players down, right? Bosa fits that mold as well, even though he looks like freaking, I don't know, straight out of a Rocky movie. It's what it is. It's deny. Look at this. Everybody's helping me. This is the worst ever. I apologize to everybody. Sorry, I'm not going to get it correct. Danny Deny Smith, or is it Deny Danny Smith? That's the question. I'm so sorry for everybody. Oh man. all right, let's stick with edge. Here again, I'm going to give you this list of second round grades I have at the edge rusher position. And I want you to tell me who doesn't belong. Okay. So listen to who you would say you don't have a second round grade on. Okay. Cassius Howell, Akeem Mezidor, Malachi Lawrence, TJ Parker, R. Mason Thomas, Danny Denai Smith, or Zion Young. Which one of those guys do not belong in the second round? If you need me to repeat some of them, just let me know.
Go ahead and run through it one more time.
Okay. Cassius Howell, Akeem Mezidor, Malachi Lawrence, TJ Parker, R. Mason Thomas, DDS, and Zion Young.
Okay. It's interesting because I do think that all those guys are kind of in that second round range.
It's just, there's a bunch.
They all are right there. I think the only one you could probably say is Zion Young off the field issues going to kind of move him down, right? We've seen guys drop. But if you're talking talent wise, all those guys are right there. And with guys like Akeem Mezidor, right, they're like fringe first round guys. Like he's pretty darn good. Him and Cassius Howell. Cassius Howell had longer arms, he would be a first round guy, in my opinion, for most teams in the NFL. So these guys do have extreme traits. I think with Cassius Howell, the one thing he doesn't do very well is set the edge in the run. And I think that's probably why you gave him a second round grade, is he's not a complete three down player. But I think in the second round, all those guys make a lot of sense. I think you hit it on those guys. I wouldn't take anyone and move them to the third round for sure.
Okay, well then let's do this. These are my third round guys that are fringe second round that I have them in the third round currently, but I haven't inked it yet. So like, which one of these guys do you think belongs in that second round conversation? Gabe Akis, Derek Moore, Joshua Joseph, or Romello Height? Like those are the four guys that I have third round grades on. But I'm like, I could make an argument to bump them up. And so I'm running it by the ant machine. You got to let me know what that looks like.
I think Gabe Yakis, that's a guy I really like. I mean, you're talking about a motor, the technique, the skill. Too. Man, see, I like him a lot. He was a guy I watched early. And, you know, it's funny because I think he kind of flies under the radar. Everyone talks about everybody else. But, yeah, he's a fun guy. I think that he would be a second round guy. I haven't inked into my second round either. I've been still putting everything together, but dude's extremely talented, which means there's even more guys bunched in that second round for edge. Maybe the 49ers wide receiver and then going edge in round two is not going to be so crazy. I think Gabe Yakis would definitely be a guy that's a second round guy. I think a lot of people are going to find value in the way he plays. I like him. He's good.
All right, let's switch up gears just a little bit. What if Colton Hood, the cornerback from Tennessee, falls to 27? There are a lot of corners that are going to be in or around kind of the 49ers pick. Avion Terrell, Colton Hood, Brandon Sis, Chris Johnson, D'Angelo Pons, your guy, Keontae Scott. What are your thoughts? Like we talked about how we don't think corner is necessarily going to be a pick that the 49ers make, but if we look at best player available, the strengths of this draft class, independent of the 49ers roster, and it's a premium position. It's one of the top three highest paid positions now in the NFL. What are your thoughts there of Colton Hood or any of these corners that could be available in the first round at 27 there?
I think if you're drafting a corner in the first round, you're expecting them to be a lockdown corner. So this guy has to step in right away and be considered just a shutdown, lockdown corner. I don't know if Colton Hood is. If you told me that, McCoy made it there because of the injury concerns, now he's kind of dispelled those because the way he ran at his pro day, I would say yes, even though he has injury concerns, I think he's a lockdown corner. But I look at a lot of those guys that you're talking about in that range, and you're going to ask the questions, some questions about them. I think with Avion Terrell, he plays very physical, but I think there's some holes in his game. Colton Hood, kind of the same thing. I like him. I don't know if I love him, especially at 27. If you traded back, if you told me the 49ers took that trade earlier with the Raiders, got to 36, and one of those guys was sitting there, I think it's a little bit more digestible. But I just don't see the guy that I'm like, lockdown corner right now makes this team so much better. When you've got to need a wide receiver, defensive end, or even offensive line, I think I would put it at fourth positional value.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But I do see it, and I'm just like, And then Daniel Jeremiah just keeps bumping Chris Johnson up, and I'm just like, that dude just looks like a 49ers player, man. Those San Diego Aztecs, I love those uniforms. I love those uniforms anyway. Any other questions, concerns, comments, something I skipped over before we jump out of here that we want to share?
Yeah, one thing I want to talk to you about, because I was listening to your show with Wayne the other day.
I got in trouble.
And I was very curious because you guys were talking defensive line. And you guys were talking Caleb Proctor, Zane Durant. And I just want you to sell me on Zane Durant. I like him. I want you to sell me on Zane Durant over Caleb Proctor.
My biggest issue with Zane Durant is consistency, right? Like, when you watch the game tape and not the highlights, it's like, all right, probably, you know, a little out of position there. He got reached there. He's not in his gap there. You know, just got stalemated at the line of scrimmage there, all those things. But whenever I watch just like the Senior Bowl tapes that I got, the clips that I got, it's just like, man, that is awesome. Never missed a game. Durability, freak athlete. Dude just got strength on strength on strength. And it kind of goes against a little bit of my, I always want consistency. I don't see that in Zane. I don't see it, but the speed, the acceleration, the body, what he did at the pro, or what he did at the Senior Bowl, that is kind of the things that stand out to me the most. But yeah, I haven't finished my DT rankings and stacked them all. The consistency is a killer for me. The athleticism is off the charts, and that's what I love about him. I mean, he's just a freak. He's a freak. Dude ran a 1.66 10-yard burst. Like, that is – but the tape, he's a better athlete than a football player. So go ahead and roast me. Let me know why your guy, who I actually have ranked higher, will have ranked higher. Tell me why Proctor's way better and why you are more comfortable with him.
Oh, no, I was just curious because I think that actually when you look at them, they're pretty similar in size now. I mean, Caleb Proctor played a little bit heavier at Southeastern Louisiana, but he's lost weight. You know, I think that was for testing reasons. I think he'll probably play around 300 pounds, but I think that they're very similar. I just kind of like Proctor's like technique when it comes to his arm over and some things like that, that I think he's going to be a pretty good pass rusher. But I was just curious because I heard you guys kind of having a little bit of the conversation about it. And so I just wanted to get perspective on it. I think it's fun. I think that there is a spot in the fourth round for one of those defensive pass rushing defensive tackles. And so I think Caleb Proctor or Zane Durant both right there. And that's why I wanted to get your perspective on Durant, because I like him too. I just like Proctor a little bit more, just with some of the things that, just what I look for. I don't know. I think things stand out to certain people, but make no mistake, Durant is going to be a fun dude that gets upfield and causes all kinds of problems. He's a freak athlete. Like, dude is crazy athletic. So I like both of those guys. I wanted to hear it because definitely no roasting, no burn. I just thought, hey, that was a kind of an interesting conversation. I wanted to see where your mind was at.
I will argue Southeastern Louisiana tape is harder to come by than Penn State. I need more. And so my tape hookup, I need more. But
you got to watch the LSU game. That's the game. The two sacks, the three tackles for loss. That's where he proved that he's a you know, NFL caliber player.
And he's going a lot higher. You look at the consensus, Caleb Proctor's at 103, Zane Durant's 125. So you're talking about, you know, back into the third round versus top into the fourth round. I doubt either one of which will be available in the fourth round for the 49ers. But yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. So, man, I appreciate it. Ant, holding me accountable. That's what we need here. I need the accountability. You're the freaking man, Ant. For everybody. I guess our draft plan now, and we kind of soft launched this a little bit. We are, we're going to be live on the draft. So join us, obviously. we'll be joint channels in first, second, and at least round four. I'm not going to commit to all of day three, but first round, second round, fourth round. It's the only time the 49ers pick. Now, if there's a trade, then we might get a little wild. But, join us on draft day. We will be here somewhere. And anything else that before we jump out of here?
Great show, John. I really enjoyed it. Draft season, so much fun. And we just, you know, a few more weeks and the draft is going to be here. It's exciting.
Oh, I'm pumped. All right, everybody, you are incredible. Thanks for all your help on today's show. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.